Hello and welcome to the Check-In Podcast. This is where we check in together for community, connection, and conversation over the airwaves. It's time to check your checking accounts. You might have been among the first Americans to receive their cut of the $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package. Many of us will use this money for necessities, food, rent, gas, all essentials we've been worried about paying for over the last year. But what about your student loan payments? Senate Democrats say a provision in this relief package, one that makes student loan forgiveness tax-free through 2015, will pave the way for the Biden administration to approve a federal student loan forgiveness plan. One in five Americans has student debt. Over the past 20 years, in-state tuition and fees at public universities has grown over 212%. Today on The Check-In, we're talking about what student loan forgiveness could look like and what it could mean for the economy. We're also discussing solutions and tips for successfully managing student debt or avoiding it altogether. Are you struggling with student debt? Do you have loans for a degree you didn't finish? Have you completely paid off your student debt? If anything we say resonates with you, leave us a voicemail at 833-560-1329 or tweet us at checkin_KBIA to join the conversation. Stay tuned to the end of the podcast to hear an exclusive interview between me and Mark Jones of the Missouri National Education Association as he answers more of my questions and yours. But first, to Janet.
This is The Check-In. I'm Janet Saidi. Today we are talking about student loan debt. How is that impacting your life? With everything else that has gone on in the past year, are you struggling in general and then also trying to do your life, trying to do what you do, whether it's go to college or pay for your kids to go to college or get that training that you want to get out of this or just take each day at a time, just surviving right now? And are you doing all of that under the weight of student debt? I know many of us are. I know if you're like me, my 18-year-old was having to think about student debt before she could buy a drink. She was thinking about student debt. So we also have a guest helping us this hour, as we often do. Later this hour, we're going to connect with Mark Jones. He's with the Missouri National Education Association. He's part of a campaign called Degrees Not Debt. They're looking at solutions and tips for managing or avoiding student debt altogether. If that's possible, we're going to hear from Mark Jones on that. And right now, as we dig into what student loan forgiveness, canceling all this student loan debt, which has been big in the news recently, what that could look like, we're going to hear from Marty Steffens, who is a professor at the University of Missouri. She is a professor with business journalism, so a colleague of ours here at KBIA, and also a professor of economics. Marty Steffens, welcome to the Check-In. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Janet.
Okay, well, it's great to have you with us, and it's great to have somebody who understands this topic and who enjoys this topic, because it's such a baffling topic. But it's really has been in the news as Democrats, like President of the United States, President Biden, is advocating for $10,000 in forgiveness of student debt, and others want to see more like $50,000. Marty Steffens, what does all of this look like to you as an economics and business journalism professor? What are you seeing when you see some of these discussions play out?
Well, first of all, this was a campaign promised by the Democrats during the last election, that so many Americans are burdened by student debt and the high cost of education, frankly, that they wanted to see some relief and they wanted to see a real opportunity to remove this big burden to moving on with their lives. We've seen a generation of students, millennials, put off having a family, getting married, finding a partner, buying a house, and moving on with life. And we've seen a record number of millennials still living at home. And a lot of this is because of crushing student debt, an average of about $27,000.
Yeah.
So what do you do when your life is so burdened? And also, we're seeing a lot of inequities by race. Black Americans owe much more student debt than white Americans. Hispanics, too, as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. I've seen this, that it's disproportionate for Black students, and they're being recruited by Ivy Leagues, and it's with traditionally and on average less wealth to draw from if you think about racist policies like redlining that have reduced Black wealth. So that's a thing. And when you look at that, then that's a thing also when we're talking about student debt. Marty Steffens, new legislation would make some student debt tax-free. That's part of the COVID package, I think, for at least the next few years. How does that work and who benefits?
Well, technically, first, that was the biggest stumbling block to creating some sort of debt forgiveness for Americans. Now, one of the things we really want to specify is we're talking about federal loans here. If you have a loan through myfedloan.org, if you're paying that, that's what we're talking about. There might be legislation to deal with private loans, but right now we're talking about federal loan forgiveness. And the majority of loan money out there is federal loans. Okay, so what happened in the CARES, the American Rescue Act that was just passed, was this tax forgiveness through 2026. And that really means that if you are forgiven debt, that might mean that you won't have to pay taxes on it. Because if somebody forgives a debt, that's taxable income to you. So if the $50,000 was passed, you would have to pay that taxable amount. If $10,000 is passed, that would give you relieve you of the about $2,200 in taxable income that would have incurred.
We do have a caller with us. Rachel is calling from Columbia. Rachel, how are you doing? And what did you have to say to us here on the check-in?
Hello. Hi. I want to say thanks for including students in this. I'm actually a local professor, so I'm interested to hear what our student population says. And I chose this profession, and I'm very happy, but the amount that I'm paid really doesn't match up with all of the degrees I'm required to have. I'm working on my fourth degree now, and there's a big disparity there between the degrees we need and the student debt we're asked to take on, and then our base pay. So that's really affected me in my mid-30s with being able to start a family, take on car payments, take on house payments. So it's definitely something that, you know, I don't think I fully realized when I initially went into this career.
Rachel, how long have you been dealing with this? How long do you feel like you've been sort of working and paying it off? And how long do you think it's going to take you to do that?
Well, I've been in education for about 10 years. I've been a college student myself for 20. As I said, I'm still in college.
Yes.
And my debt is really not so bad compared to a lot of my friends and family, because I have had a lot of support from my family with helping with some of those loans. And I also made some decisions that were great in that I've had employers to help me out as well. But okay, I think I'm looking at another 5 to 10 years of paying my loans, which are now under $20,000.
Okay. That sounds almost manageable, and I'm glad you're able to work and continue going to school. Rachel, thanks so much for checking in with us here on the check-in. I want to get Marty's response to what Rachel's saying and Rachel's situation. We are going to go to a break here, and we want to take more calls after a minute. But Marty, we just have really quick before our break, can you just respond to what Rachel said in her situations?
Well, what Rachel says really relates to a big problem, which is graduate school debt. That, you know, a lot of the debt that we're seeing out there is graduate school debt. And we do know that higher salaries correspond to attending graduate school. So there's certainly an incentive, but it's a huge burden, particularly for Black students, who 45% of Black student debt is graduate school debt.
Graduate school debt. Okay, we're going to continue the conversation here on the check-in. Marty Steffens, our guest, loves this topic. I think that it's nice to connect on this topic. Let's commiserate. An average of $27,000 people are holding in debt. 1 in 5 Americans have it. There's more than a trillion of it, and it keeps rising, and various policies are looking at it. We're going to look at it. How does it affect our economy, and how does it affect you and me? 573-882-4991. We'll be back on the check-in right after this.
Listen to The Check-In every Thursday at noon Central Time. Join host Janet Saidi for live conversations on community, connection, and the issues we all face in our day-to-day lives. Each week, we'll have a new guest and topic of choice, and we want to hear from you. You can call in live to be a part of the conversation or tweet us at checkin_KBIA. Can't catch the show live? Subscribe to the Check-In podcast on Apple Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Check-In. I'm Janet Saidi. We are talking about student debt. You know, our team here on the Check-In, a lot of them are students. A lot of them are in debt. Some of them, I know exactly how much debt they are carrying. We've been talking about this conversation. It's particularly hard to just be carrying this right now after a year of pandemic, after the economic crisis that we've been in and are still in. Student debt is being added to everything else going on. Our student team went out on campus this week and they talked to some people about their debt. And we want to hear from some of those people that our team talked to. Here's a clip. It's about 50 seconds, a little less than that, about how it's impacting how they see the future. Let's hear this clip now that our team got here on the check-in.
Hi, my name is Sophie Chappell, and I'm currently a freshman. I do anticipate having student debt. Right at the moment, from what I know, like, so my parents and I each, you know, like, took out loans and things like that. So I'll probably have between $15,000 to $20,000 of student debt by the end of it. I'm definitely in the denial stage of things right now. It's something that I am worried about, but I just kind of push it away because I am a freshman at the moment. So again, it's something that I'm kind of repressing. I could definitely see it affecting, like, where I want to, you know, live when I'm older, like how much I end up traveling, things like that, where, like, I have all these ideas of how I want my life to go. But I, again, don't know how much student debt's going to actually affect, like, those plans I have in place.
Producers Hannah France and Isabella Paxton were out getting these clips for us that we'll hear from throughout the rest of this hour. Let's hear from Marty Steffens. Marty, what do you think when you hear that freshman at MU who says she's in denial, she's trying to just do school during a global pandemic and just take it day in and day out and not think too much about her up to $20,000 in debt? What goes through your mind when you hear that?
Well, Janet, one of the things I have my economics students do is write about their personal finances, and student debt is a frequent topic. About 44% of incoming students to Mizzou take out student loans. So she certainly has good company in terms of being worried about the money that she's borrowed. And I certainly do hear a lot of denial and a lot of misinformation and lack of understanding about what actually taking out student loans means. I had three children who went to college, and all three of them had some sort of student loans, not a great amount. And my daughter currently is in graduate school and is taking out loans to attend graduate school. So I understand this on a level that a lot of people don't, because I certainly talk about student loans to my economics students, as well as for the past 12 years, I've been working on a personal finance project with the National Endowment for Financial Education, where college students talk about the financial burdens that they endure during college and the future that they see for themselves economically. And of course, student loans is a major, major part of that.
All right.
So I certainly resonate with what she's saying.
Marty, I have to ask you, why is student debt so high? $1.6 trillion with one in five Americans dealing with this. Higher education, you know, going to a public school like the University of Missouri wasn't always as expensive as it is now. What's the big why behind this?
Well, most states have reduced the funding to higher education institutions. And so that means less support for public schools, and that means that tuition dollars have to make up that gap. Mm-hmm. It just isn't being made up through donations. Mm-hmm. So that means that an increase in tuition. Now, we here in Missouri have a fairly low tuition because tuition raises have been capped. But the reason that we get a lot of students from Illinois and Kansas and Texas is because our tuition rates are lower for our public school education on you know, at universities than them. I just talked with one of my students who is a resident of Illinois, who in her blog about finances told me that it was cheaper for her to come from Illinois and attend Mizzou than it was for her going to her own state schools. So the cost of education is a constant conversation in households where college is being considered. And I'm sure in your home too, Janet, as your child is looking for the cost of education and where to attend.
Yes, she is. And it it gave her a little pause for thought. She got into her dream school, and it's an extremely expensive one. So it definitely cut into the joy of her college, you know, application experience just a little bit. It was a little heartbreaking to see. So it's the conversation we're having here on the check-in today. And we want to get to your calls now. Katie, you are calling from Columbia. Thanks so much for checking in with us. How's college debt affecting you, Katie?
Hi, I am 36 years old, and I decided to go back to school. I'm a sophomore with about $12,500 in debt. And, you know, I'm thinking as I get older and paying back this student debt, like that's money that I could be putting into a retirement fund.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I still have two more years of school, so I don't even know what my student debt's going to look like after that. And, you know, and I'm still using other programs for funding as well on top of this. So, I mean, I hope that there's some sort of debt relief that the Biden administration signs into play.
Yes.
But,
okay.
I mean, especially for older students, it takes a big toll.
Katie, best of luck to you. And as you go for it, good luck. And I'm so happy that you called into the check-in, because that gives us a great question to kind of unpack with Marty Steffens. You, what do you think, Marty, about Katie, who's going back to school later, doing grad school, trying to improve her life, but she's thinking about all these other things like retirement as well, which is the case for so many of us. Thoughts on her?
Well, the Boston College research shows us that 30-year-olds who have debt from their bachelor's degree have significantly less retirement savings than their peers. And we all know that the longer you save for retirement, the more you have at the end. That if you try to save after age 35 or after 45, you are significantly going to have lower retirement savings. And now that a bulk of retirement income is what we contribute to 401k or IRA or 403b plans, that's really significant. The
right.
other concerning thing is the number of people over 65 who are still carrying student loans. Now, this might be parent loans where they're helping out children, but really also people who've gone back to college to retool their lives, you know, perhaps mid-career, often carry those loans into retirement. And that's significant.
Okay, that Marty Steffens, Professor Steffens with the University of Missouri, you're giving us really something completely new to think about. You do not think of people over 65 and seniors as carrying college debt. That could be some of us who are parents who might end up helping out our kids and dealing with that. Let's take another call. Fred calling from Columbia. Fred, how are you? And how is student debt affecting your life?
Well, as a taxpayer, it'd be terribly unfair to all the people that have worked hard to pay off their student loans and all of a sudden have a government program to relieve the current student debt. Further, I think the universities are partially at fault for offering degrees and encouraging students to enter these programs, go into debt and some degree programs. They have no hope of earning a sufficient income to support themselves and pay off their debt.
Okay. Fred from Columbia, thank you so much for that comment, Fred. I hear you. And Marty, let me get your view on this. People who have already worked really hard and almost a lifetime to pay off student debt. And then he's also, Fred's bringing up something else, which is do universities who really benefit from all this debt that people are carrying because it makes them go to school. You know, the debt allows them to go to school. So can universities be held accountable or be asked to take some responsibility for student debt? Thoughts, Professor Marty Steffens?
Well, there's several things here. And what Fritz saying is a really common response, that there this moment in time, if you forgive a student debt for this window, what about people who've already worked really hard to pay off their student debt? Or what about younger siblings who haven't even gone to school yet? This is only going to be a window of forgiveness. And we don't know the amount yet. President Biden has said he wants to erase $10,000 in student debt. Progressives want $50,000. So that's more than $1 trillion if it's $50,000. So could that money be better put to use into funneling into public education, public universities, to lower the cost of tuition for everyone? What Fred's saying is also been a case, particularly, in other words, here, come get this education. We're going to make it easy for you to borrow money. But is that job going to pay off? Is that investment in your own education going to pay off in a better paying career? Generally, it has. People who have bachelor's degrees make an average of $92,000 versus people who have a high school education who might make an average of $50,000. Now, that might vary by geographic region, but we do see that generally there is a payoff. But how much do you borrow to achieve that bachelor's degree? And that's Fred's point, is this huge investment in wiping out federally backed loans going to pay off for society as a whole? And is it going to achieve the fairness, not only to older millennials who might have already paid a lot in student loans or paid them off, or to younger Gen Z, people who haven't attended college yet and may not see this loan forgiveness? So that's a valid concern. And it'll be interesting to see what President Biden does. First of all, we have to figure out if Congress is going to make this loan forgiveness by passing legislation, or if this is going to be an executive order through President Biden. He seemed reluctant to do that. He wants congressional broad bipartisan support to have some sort of loan forgiveness. But certainly what Fred is saying from an economic standpoint is a valid concern. Now, the second thing that people say is, will this stimulate the economy? A lot of it is kind of projected to be a relief for a COVID period where we've had forbearance in paying student loans. If it is a stimulus in the economy, it's going to be a slow moving one, because it's basically going to relieve people of that $300-$350 payment per month over time. So it's going to be an interesting economic conversation to have on the ultimate effect of student loan forgiveness. Because remember, while 44% of Missouri students take out student loans, there's still 55% of students who don't have loans at all, who parents have saved and scrimped over time, or perhaps have higher incomes and are able to pay their student costs.
All right. We are talking with Professor Marty Steffens with Missouri School of Journalism and the University of Missouri. She's a business journalism professor and focuses on economics, talks to a lot of students, is also a parent, and understands college debt from several vantage points. You also, very likely, listener, understand college debt from several vantage points. Today, we're talking about college loans, student debt, how it impacts our economy, how it impacts our life. We're also coming up after this break, we're going to hear from some more of our students on campus. Our producers here at the check-in, Hannah France, Isabella Paxton, went out and just hung out with some students and got some of their voices on how they're dealing with student debt, how they're navigating this. Let us know. We're going to hear from our students. We're going to hear from you. I see some of you are calling in. We will get to your calls right after this break.
Listen to The Check-In every Thursday at noon Central Time. Join host Janet Saidi for live conversations on community, connection, and the issues we all face in our day-to-day lives. Each week, we'll have a new guest and topic of choice, and we want to hear from you. You can call in live to be a part of the conversation or tweet us at checkin_KBIA. Can't catch the show live? Subscribe to The Check-In podcast on Apple Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Check-In. I'm Janet Saidi. We are checking in together. Let's start with a clip. Our check-in producers, Isabella Paxton and Hannah France, went out and talked to some students on University of Missouri campus this week. Let's hear from this student who's talking about grad school and student debt.
My name's Kennedy. I'm a junior. I will have student debt when I graduate. I think it's like a total of like five each year. Obviously, it adds up, and it like can be overwhelming, especially like if you want to pursue like graduate school or law school or anything afterwards, like because that is another expense.
All right. That's one of our students at the University of Missouri talking with check-in producers Hannah France and Isabella Paxton about what it's like trying to think about grad school. We've got a couple of experts here today with us on the check-in to help us talk about how we as parents, as students, even as older people, paying off student debt for others or for ourselves, how we navigate all this, how it affects us, how it affects you and me, and how it affects all of us, our economy. Now, we want to bring in Mark Jones. Mark Jones is communications director with the Missouri National Education Association, and he's working on a campaign called Degrees Not Debt. Mark Jones, thanks so much for joining the check-in. It's great to have you here.
Thank you for having me on, Ken. I really appreciate it. It's a really important topic for a lot of folks.
Yes, and we want to hear a little bit about this Degrees Not Debt campaign, but if you don't mind staying with us for a minute, Mark, we've got some calls lined up that really want to talk to us about how student debt is impacting their life. So let's go right now, Whit in Columbia. Whit, thanks for calling us. What are your thoughts on student debt?
Well, I want to know where mine is. I got to the point after 2 years of college that I needed to take a student loan to continue. I decided to make the decision that I should go ahead and get a job as opposed to accepting loan. I applied for the loan. The loan was at the guidance office. I mean, I was, all I had to do is go in and sign my name over, sign the check over. So I want to know, you're taking $10,000 to pay other people that made a poor decision. I want to know where my $10,000 is. I likely could have had a more successful career. I went on. I was a journalist. I was a photojournalist. I was doing the news meetings every day in a newspaper, and realized that I'm the only guy in the room that doesn't have a degree, and that degree would certainly have helped me further my career. I made the decision. They made a different decision.
Yeah.
Why aren't they responsible for their decisions?
Okay, Whit, I hear you. Thanks so much for calling into the check-in. And Whit is bringing up something that I think a lot of people feel and that has been discussed out there in these conversations, which is college is extremely expensive, but it's not mandatory. You don't have to go to college. Whit decided to go a different path and got a good job. There are analysts who say that the only thing more expensive than college is not going to college. The reality is that college degrees open a lot of doors, and your employment prospects are better with a college degree. So I think a lot of people are looking at that. But that is a good question that Whit brings. Marty, it would be good to get your opinion on that. But first, Mark, let's get your reaction to the caller. But also, we want to hear from you a little bit about the Degrees Not Debt campaign and what that's about.
Caller's opinion's one you hear quite a bit. And I think fundamentally we have to start with a couple of facts. And the first is, over the past 20 years, the cost of, even if you were going to an in-state school, public university, the cost of a tuition has basically gone from about $3,500 to just under $12,000. And so you've had almost a fourfold increase in the cost of just tuition. That's all these supplemental costs that go with college. And I think the caller also talked about something that I think you can frame in a form of despair, which is, he had to make a choice about his economic prosperity for the rest of his life. And so the question is, do you take on debt at a younger age and with the hopes of, almost doubling your income for the rest of your life, or do you sacrifice your economic prosperity? And I think those are really poor decisions for anybody to have to make at the age of 18 or 22. And so what we should be focused on is making sure college is more affordable for everyone who wants to go. And a lot of this is focused around college, but people take on student debt for trade schools, for other, like STEM programs and career programs. And so there's a lot around that's focused on just, the college aspect. But we need to remember, this is about people tooling up for the jobs of the 21st century that are going to require us all at some point learn new skills and adapt. And at probably at some point, most of the folks who are under the age of 45 will end up going back to some sort of program, whether it be through a college or a trade university, to retool. Because 10, 15 years ago, our iPhones did not exist. A lot of the technology we work with did not exist. And if you want to be a worker in the 21st century, the first rule is going to be that you're going to have to learn and retool over and over in your life to stay relevant and have economic prospects.
Okay, thanks for that, Mark Jones. Callers who are joining us, we see you. We're going to get to your calls next. Let me just hear from Professor Marty Steffens on that last caller, Whit, who chose not to go to college. It was too expensive and would rather not, as a taxpayer, pay for debt cancellation. Marty Steffens, a lot of people feel that way. What are your thoughts on that and how it affects the overall economy and those of us who aren't directly impacted by student debt?
Well, I certainly can understand Whit's comments. You know, he had to make some very tough decisions based on his economics at the time. And, you know, student loans weren't quite as prevalent many years ago as they are now. And now they're kind of built into your whole cost of going to college. It's very easy to get a student loan. So it's almost not a decision. I think one of our callers where they kind of talked about it is that it's just part of the package, you know, that here's how you're going to pay for your college education. And part of it's going to be federally backed loans. But I certainly understand, you know, the anger that people have saying, why now? Why this generation? When this has been a systemic problem, as the NEA outlined, you know, for quite some time, you know, the rising cost of a higher education that is more and more required for today's jobs. Requirements have really stepped up in terms of saying, hey, you know, if you want to be a journalist and work in a newsroom, you're going to have a bachelor's degree. The option for you not, you know, to not have a bachelor's degree is really going to restrict you. But we haven't taken care of that as a society. Other like Canada colleges is much cheaper. In Europe, particularly in the UK, college is much cheaper if you qualify from a testing standpoint. So we really need to have a broader conversation, just about forgiving a narrow bit of student loans, but economically, how important a college education is to the future economics of this country. If we educate our society, it's going to pay us back. Into the future with higher earnings and then higher tax dollars paid. Okay. All of these student loans have a, you know, draw down our taxes.
Okay.
Really, because you get
you get
tax break.
That's great. Marty Steffens, I'm sorry to jump in on you there, but that's a great point. And I want to let in some of our callers who are lighting up our phone lines here and have things to say. But I appreciate your big picture, Professor Marty Steffens. You're getting at it and you're saying we're not taking care of this as a society. It sounds like there need to be good options. I love the idea of someone like Whit going into journalism as a journalist and just taking great photos. But we really are not taking care of some things as our society, both with allowing public education and also allowing options, other options that are not public education. We have Mark on the line from Columbia. Mark, thanks so much for calling. What's going on with you when it comes to student debt?
I just had a kind of an overall idea about how an educated, healthy citizen is good for the country. And in the United States, education, wealth, and health are all tied together.
Yes.
So to not have a educated base of people, the country is weaker. I have two anecdotal stories about how education and loans stifles growth. It limits competition for existing businesses. Back home, we had the SUNY system, so you could go to school, basically almost pay for it with a summer job. I knew some guys who became an architect, an engineer, and an accountant. They got jobs after college, and instead of going to work for a company, they pooled their resources and they bought a old factory building. They renovated the bottom floor into retail space, did offices and lofts above it, and it revitalized an entire area of the city that had been dead for 30 years, creating more jobs. My partner here in Missouri had to do a 3,000-hour state licensure after her 8 years of school to get into mental health. Her options for employment were $32,000 a year, 60 hours a week, on-call nights and weekends, and a two-year non-compete 50 miles within the area. Instead, because of my job, she was able to do her internship and all that, and she started her own practice. And 3 years in, she's making more than that job offered, and she's able to hire employees. Once you start a job, you have to start paying back your student loans. Who's going to take a cut in their pay to try to start something new? They won't. They'll just stay working at that factory mental health facility for 20 years because once you start paying that mortgage of an education, you're not going to give up the lifestyle that you're accustomed to.
All right, Mark, thank you so much for giving us all of that. And Mark, our caller from Columbia, is really pointing to, as he said, the interaction between health and wealth and education. Lots going on in Mark's comments. Let's go back to you, Mark Jones, really quickly. We want to take a call or two more, but do you have a comment from our caller, Mark? Really quickly to respond, and anything that this has to do with degrees, not debt campaign as well.
Sure. It actually really gets to why we've had to start the degrees, not debt program. As Marty had mentioned earlier, student loan forgiveness programs exist, but what we were finding with our membership is that about 98% of the people who apply don't end up making it through the program. And often this is for very technical reasons that have to do with the paperwork of these forgiveness programs. And so we saw a need to help our members, educators who work in public schools and public services. Often they have to have degrees or even advanced degrees to do their jobs, and they end up with thousands of dollars of debt. And in Missouri, unfortunately, we're number 50 in the country for starting teacher pay. So those two things really put a lot of economic pressure on our members and on educators who are doing their best to help students, succeed and prosper themselves. And so we started doing trainings across the country. In Missouri, we've done hundreds of them for educators, teaching them how to work through these programs. But even after that, we found that sometimes these student loan forgiveness programs are so technical that, people were not getting their repayments done because a comma was out of place, or they, how they put their name on the form from 1 year to another.
Yes, so Mark Jones, I have to jump in there and say less than 1% is the statistic I saw on that. Less than 1% were successful.
Yeah, and that's ridiculous. And so we've actually partnered with a firm that if you're an MNEA member, you get this for free your first year. It's called Savvy, but they actually are a service that will make sure your paperwork is filled out for you. And I think that speaks to a real problem in these programs, that you have to go hire basically a contracted firm to do this. But on the flip side of this, we have really seen these programs make a huge difference in people's lives. We've had members save tens of thousands of dollars. The income-based changes to their repayment schedule have also been incredibly impactful. I remember one of these trainings we were doing, and we were helping them fill out the forms, and they got notification and figured out that their student loan payment would be cut by $500 or $600. And this member, who's an educator in the St. Louis area, literally just broke down in tears because of this would mean for her personal life.
Wow.
And that is the kind of crushing problem that we see these student loan debts have. And particularly in places where we're expecting people to, participate as public servants, whether that's, first responders or teachers, these are not professions that are noted for their high pay. You don't see a lot of Mercedes-Benz outside of the local public school.
Right.
And so for that reason, these folks are already doing something for the greater good. And the least we can do is ensure that these programs that recognize that they're participating as public servants work efficiently. And so,
unfortunately,
those programs got worse under Secretary DeVos. So we're hopeful under the Biden administration, we'll see a reversal in that and more people getting what they're, what the law says they have the right to, which is public loan forgiveness and student loan forgiveness. And that's really what the Degrees Not Debt program is about, is making sure that educators receive the benefits that they've been promised through by Congress and through law.
Wow, Mark Jones, thanks so much for letting us into the mission behind Degrees Not Debt campaign with the Missouri National Education Association. We've got time for a very quick call. Mark calling from Jefferson City. Mark, let us know what you're thinking. We've only got about 30 seconds here. Can you let us know quickly what your thoughts are on debt forgiveness?
Sure, real quick. I'm not for it, and here's the reasons. My wife and I sacrificed so that we could put money aside to put our children through school. Our children both worked when they were in college, and they made sacrifices. I know at least 10 kids who went to school, got huge loans from the schools. They never worked a single day when they were in college, and their excess money that they got, more than what they needed for school, they spent on non-education things like fancy vacations to Europe and the Caribbean. So as a taxpayer, people make decisions. You need to live by those decisions, and nobody makes my house payment for me.
Okay, Mark from Jefferson City, thanks for letting us know. We definitely hear you and understand a lot of people have already paid off debt, already worked, already made these very, very difficult decisions to not have student debt. And as our guests have been talking about, you know, we want to keep the very big picture in mind, how our education and our health and our wealth are all interconnected. Professor Marty Steffens with Missouri School of Journalism and University of Missouri, thanks so much for being with us on the check-in today.
Thank you, Janet.
And also Mark Jones, National Education Association, for talking with us about Degrees Not Debt. Thanks so much for your comments and for checking in with us.
Thank you very much. Thanks for highlighting this important topic.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And thanks to all of you callers. For those we didn't get to, apologies. You can still reach out to us on the check-in. You can leave us a voicemail at 833-560-1329. Anybody who wanted to get on today but was not able to get their call through, 833-560-1329, because we just ran out of time. But those of you we were able to hear from, thanks for checking in with us.
Thank you for listening to The Check-In. After our show, Mark Jones of the Missouri National Education Association answered a couple more of our questions.
So, for starters, what do we need to understand about borrowers' rights when it comes to student loans?
Well, I mean, the important part is, we recommend always that you have more rights when you take a loan that is backed and secured by the federal government as part of the federal government loan program. Also, those tend to have the best sort of deferral rights, and also are usually where debt repayment programs or income-based repayment programs are most likely to flourish and be enforced. That's really the important thing to think about. You know, really with student loan debt, the most important thing to think about is it necessary, to only take what you absolutely need, and then recognize that these loan repayment programs, should you go into a public service profession, are very technical, and you need to stay on top of them, because even small mistakes can jeopardize your eligibility for them.
Yeah. What's the most common type of small mistake that people make?
Well, actually, what's unfortunate is I really wouldn't put this on most borrowers. We've seen that, over 98% of the people who apply for these public service debt forgiveness programs don't make it across the finish line. And it's often because of what you and I would consider small technical mistakes. We've had members who they changed their name. They got married, or, one year they spelled out their middle name. The next year they used their middle initial in the form. And all of a sudden that's kicked them out of the system for some reason. So it's a very frustrating and infuriating system, because I think the deal was that, hey, if you do 10 years of public service, you get this debt forgiven, and it should be that simple, rather than having to do complicated paperwork that frankly would make your taxes look like a joy.
All right. And what information about loans do students need before they decide to go to college?
Well, most importantly, understanding the difference between subsidized, unsubsidized loans. When and where your interest starts to accumulate, the expectation of repayment, and also really thinking through how long-term the debt can be. The story I always tell folks simply is this, that most people don't know it, but Clarence Thomas didn't pay off his student loans until he was a Supreme Court justice. And so they can stick around for a very long time. And it's important. While I think in general for most people, going to college, getting a degree that helps you earn a higher income, help you support your family better, is a good decision. Just make sure it's the right decision for you, and recognize that there are going to be economic consequences, that you can't depend on these sort of programs or some sort of, you know, what moment in time loan forgiveness. And I think there's a larger systemic problem at play here that needs to be addressed about why it's four times more expensive to go to college in 2021 than it was in 2001. And how we expect folks to have good family supporting jobs and careers, be part of the 21st century economy if we don't they don't have access to education. So it's really a devil's bargain for a lot of folks that if you do not take on this debt, you are severely limiting your future prosperous or your future income prosperity. And that just doesn't seem to be the kind of society we want to have. We want to have a society where people have the ability to maximize their talents and the opportunity to try them out and to build the kind of life that, you know, makes them proud and makes them feel fulfilled, whether that's, you know, becoming a CEO, becoming a school teacher, becoming a firefighter, becoming a talk show host. Doesn't matter. You should be able to maximize your potential and do so in a way that doesn't cause you crippling debt. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't have to pay for college. Doesn't mean that there shouldn't be a work effort and ethic. It does mean, however, that it really jeopardizes, I think, the fabric of what we consider a key value in our culture, is that everyone should have a free and fair opportunity to achieve without being handicapped from the get-go. And student loan debt has a bad way of being an albatross around folks as they try to make decisions. And one wonders, you know, the business community always likes to talk about these stories of, you know, founders who quit their job and started it out of their garage and made a big success in whatever industry they're in. And one wonders how many of those folks we've missed out on because they were unable to make that move without crippling their families financially. And so really, I think this is about unlocking the genius of people and the opportunity and their spirit of their ingenuity by getting them out from what fundamentally is kind of a foolish debt to have, which is we want people to be smart. We want to compete in the economy of the 21st century, but we're also going to make you pay for it and saddle your whole life with this huge stone around your neck as you try to have a family and all the things that you should have in a free and fair society.
Okay, and what advice, I guess, would you have for students who are approaching graduation, who have a significant amount of debt as they're entering the workforce today?
Mm-hmm. Most importantly, really get with your school's financial aid people before you leave. Make sure you've maximized any of the free financial aid along your way. And also get a good understanding about what your debt schedule will be. And it's very tempting to go for like the minimum payment right off the bat. And I understand we've all been there. I'm still paying my student loans, but really try to focus on making a payment that is reasonable for you to still have, you know, the rest of your necessities covered, but is making progress. Because if you just pay that minimum, 30, 40 years later, you could still be working on that student loan debt. And that interest rate accumulates. And that's the other thing. Always look at what your interest rate is, what your schedule is for repayment, and look for opportunities where it makes sense to either consolidate that debt or get a lower interest rate. But my biggest suggestion always is if you're already in the federal government programs, try to stay in those because those offer the best protection for borrowers.
All right. And then I guess my last question would just be, what do you think that our listeners, like you were on the check-in today, you heard all sorts of different voices and opinions and people. If there's one or I guess a couple more things you could say to them, what would that be?
Well, I think, you know, the pushback against student forgiveness is often about this sort of value of fairness, like either, hey, I worked hard. And for instance, my daughter has no student loan debts because we were fortunate enough to be in a position where we could pay her way through college now. But she also got Pell Grants and aid based on her own test scores and achievement and interests. And so I understand those folks who talk about this from an angle of, well, we worked hard and managed to get out without debt. Why should we forgive these folks? And I really just go back to the idea of what kind of country do we want to be and what kind of reward system do we want to have in place for people? It is great that if you were able to put your daughter or your son through college and get them out debt free, that is a huge lift to them, where they can start pursuing a career in their interest rather than based solely on the money. But I think what we want is that every parent feel that same way, and that every person who has gone through college feel that same sense of opportunity, because I think fundamentally that is the most American of values, is that we will provide you a free playing field, or a fair playing field that's even, and you have the opportunity to achieve to the best of your talents. And student loan debt is perversely the opposite of that. Most people have to borrow, it's because their family was a typical middle-class family that didn't have $40,000 sitting around to just spend. Or often they're coming from a home where they might even be the first person to go to college. But if you look at the college debt statistics, 78% of people have taken a deferment in their life or are in some sort of arrears with their student loan debt or default. And that just tells you that this has become a massive weight around people, and it's preventing them from doing all the other activity that makes living in the United States such a joy and blessing. Starting a family, investing in a business, trying out new ideas, taking measured and risks to try to achieve their potential. And I think fairness is an important value, but also the opportunity to have a fair shot is an important value. And if we have to choose between those two, I'll always choose the one that gives people the most opportunity and the most freedom of action.
That is all I have for you. Thank you so much. That's all we have for you today on The Check-In. If you liked what you heard, make sure to follow The Check-In wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your support, and we want to hear from you. Do you have any thoughts on today's episode? How are you feeling about vaccination rollouts throughout the state? You can leave us a voicemail at 833-560-1329 or tweet us at check-in_KBIA. The Check-In is produced by Alicia Haywood, Trevor Hook, and Janet Saidi, with student producers Becca Newton, Hannah France, Fernando Naro, and me, Isabella Paxton. Special thanks to our news director, Ryan Fommeliner, engineer Mark Johnson, and program director Kyle Felling, directing this week's show. That's all we have for you today. Stay well and stay in touch.